Welcome to the It's All Happening Women in CPG podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Calabrese, CPG advisor and now founder of It's All Happening, an agency that helps brands with launch strategy. Tune in as we break down ways that successful female entrepreneurs are using to build their businesses. You'll hear stories of the people who make shit happen, overcoming struggles and celebrating the wins. We cover how brands are taking products to market, tactics that work, things that have failed, and just lessons learned from out in the field. Whether you're looking for inspiration, industry secrets, or launching a brand, this is the place. All right, you guys, I just hung up with Alyssa Fernandez, who is the founder of Allin, a cake mix company that's making cakes real again with better grains. In this conversation today, we really get into the nitty-gritty of how Alyssa got going and her why and really how she's bringing Allin to market. So I love this story so much because I've been working with her behind the scenes for quite some time now. So I've gotten to see like a ton behind the curtains. And let me just tell you that this founder's got it going on. She is extremely smart and driven. If there isn't a problem she knows how to solve, she's going to figure it out very quickly. Her entire brand is built around the fact that gluten isn't the problem. It's what we did to it. In this conversation today, we're going to break down her distribution strategy, how she's growing the brand, what her first production was like, how she started out. She started out in the farmers markets, and there's some funny stories about the products that she was selling in the farmers market as well too. So this story is really just filled with like some laughter, some grit, and some like good old founder stories. So without further ado, my conversation with Alyssa. Alyssa Fernandez, welcome to the It's All Happening Women in CPG podcast.
I am so excited to be here. I've been listening since season one, so
yay! I love that. Amazing. Well, I am so excited to dive in with you today. You have so much fun, amazing buzz that's happening around your brand. So I can't wait to unpack it all and chat about it. But first, before we dive in, you are the founder of Allin, which is a cake mix made with real high quality gluten flour. You're really leaning into the gluten thing, which is honestly so refreshing and so nice. I love your whole positioning. But first question, we're going to dive into all of that. What are you currently hustling for, or what is like your main focus right now?
It's actually patience, which seems contradictory.
Not at all.
Well, starting with 2026, it's almost like the New Year's resolutions. You have these goals, you set out the plan in place, and things are trickling along. Like many goals, none of these are going to be overnight results or successes. And so like now we're coming in, it's early February, and I'm really trying to fight that anxiety to just kind of change things instead of being patient and sticking with what were the original goals, measuring out slowly what our KPIs are going to become.
Yeah, that's so good. I love that so much. It's just so easy to get wrapped up in like the speed of it all and the hustle of it all. And I love what you just said about like, okay, what was the original plan? Because new opportunities happen all the time, like sometimes every day, right? Every week, every day. It's like, okay, this thing, that thing, I could do this, I could go there. But like, does it go back to what we originally mapped out? And there's a reason that we may have originally mapped it out. Not saying you shouldn't change your plans, because sometimes you have to pivot, totally. But I think that's such a good thing to say. It's like, slow and steady wins the race. That's something I've had to learn so many times over the years.
It can feel like a slow burn, but it's worth it.
Okay, well, let's dive in. So tell us about yourself and your background. I personally know a lot about you because I have had the pleasure of working with you for the last 6 months or so, at least, yeah. Right? And, you know, I know all about the brand and where you're headed, but just give us a high level on how you got here.
I'm Alyssa. I'm a born and raised Texan and was born to a Mexican family here. And one of the things that Texas is really, really good at, it's raising all their kids in the public education system to be proud of being from Texas. I mean, it is actually ingrained in us. When I tell people we have to say the pledge to the Texas flag every morning, they think I'm joking, but no. Because of that, I think when you're growing up, you go, oh, you know, this is kind of lame because you're just surrounded by what you've always been familiar with. And it isn't until you step out of that context and you go, oh, now I can see why this is so special. I profess that all to say that I have a brand that is very Texas forward, that is very Western proud. And I think it really does play a homage to both parts of the culture that I grew up in. Mm-hmm. Because as we know with Texas, it used to be Mexico as well. So really both cultures are just so entwined. And even the name cowboy came from the Spanish word for cowboy, which is vaquero. I think that's something that I feel really, really proud of right now, is that I get to be creative with how I build things. But going back even further than that, in college, I studied Spanish and rhetoric and writing. I was a journalist for a few years before I left for tech, was in Google, and then came to start my own CPG company. I think that that's something that I've really kept near and dear into my heart whenever I think about what do I want a brand to represent. And I really tap into kind of that journalistic and creative writing background to have fun, create some lore, a little bit of world building, but not having to reinvent the wheel. It's paying homage to what I already grew up with and recognize and can be able to reflect back.
I love that. And now that you're talking about your background, it's making me realize something about you. And I feel like you're really good at getting to the bottom of things and like doing quality research and figuring out the best path to move forward and just like leaving no rock unturned. And now I'm realizing that's totally like your journalism background. So how did you decide that there was white space in the category and that you wanted to do this? What were the signals?
So there was a lot of different things at play, but I think the real tipping point happened when I was getting married. When I was engaged a few years back, every bride has a thing they fixate on. It can be the dress, the photographer, florals. For me, I've had a sweet tooth my whole life. It was the cake. My first thought was, what are we going to eat? What am I going to be slicing? So when my tia Patty, that's my aunt, when she immigrated to the U.S., she was a dentist in Mexico, but couldn't transfer her license when she came here. So she had to start her career over and did so being a baker. So she had a popular bakery back in the border town of Texas. We used to always go there, visit her, eat her cakes, some of my fondest memories. Because of that, I always knew one little secret about a lot of bakers, and it's that they're using box cake mix. Not any different from what you can find at your grocery store.
Right.
So I knew that in my head. I was like, well, I'm going to go to these bakers. They're going to give me a beautiful cake, but the inside doesn't really have these ingredients that I agree with. But the only healthy alternatives were all gluten-free.
Right.
I thought, well, this doesn't apply to me or anyone else. So I kind of made that a little mission. So I spent most of my wedding planning just recipe developing. Like this was kind of coming out of the crux of COVID. So I was putting together what I was learning from sourdough baking in quarantine with the different grain varieties. And in my head, I thought, what's stopping me from putting this in a cake? It turns out it just creates such a flavorful cake without having to add any sort of different flavors and really messing with the integrity of the grain. So that was the first unlock. Whenever we think about wheat, there's several different factors that's going through a baker or even a food scientist's mind when they think about it. But for the average consumer, all we really think about is gluten or gluten-free. I think the closest analogy to it that I sort of discovered when I was getting more into wheat was it reminded me a lot of wine or coffee. where you have these artisan coffee houses, roasters who are selecting beans for their taste, for their consistency, for their acidity. There are all these different flavor wheels. People come to sample different things. And when you really go niche into baking, you find that that equivalent exists, but it's very hum. It's still very siloed into the top artisanal bakers within the industry. And that was one of the first misalignments that I saw was, I think there is a way to be able to translate what's being said about wheat to a wider audience and to also package it in a way that they can try it out without having to do a lot of math on the back of a napkin before putting something into the oven.
Right. You work with a specific mill that's local to Texas. Mm-hmm. Is that right? And what is it? Yeah. What is it that they do or don't do that's so unique?
Barton Springs Mill is what I call the Rolls Royce of milling. Yeah. So within milling, the standard American process is roller milling, which is not that different from a blender. It just moves super fast. It annihilates any of the nutritional value of the wheat, makes it flavorless, and just zaps it into a powder.
Right.
Stone milling is the traditional method where you put two big old stone plates together and you just slowly grind the wheat berry.
Oh, wow.
And that's how you're able to kind of preserve all the oils and brands that give it its flavor. So there are, first off, very few stone mills here in the U.S. and even fewer who are using actual mills imported from Europe. And what Barton Springs Mill does really well is their relationships with their farmers. So they don't just put anything through their mills. They make sure that it is vetted, that it is of the highest quality, and that it's going to be able to stand up the scrutiny of any experienced baker. And what I love most about them is they have such a great blueprint within the Texas food scenes. So whenever you go to a place in Texas that is a James Beard nominated restaurant or Michelin recommended,
they're working with Barton. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. I just freaking love producers like that, that are just like so into their craft. It just makes me so happy, honestly. And also like such a cool thing when CPG products get to incorporate their craft into their products. And so much of this industry, it's just like margins are tight. You always need more margin. You just do in this in this business. But holding on to that quality, especially within your category of flour, the world of wheat, and where GMO is such a topic, it's such a cool, unique thing that you offer. And I love that you're staying true to that.
Yeah.
Okay, can we talk about how you started? I've gotten to see so much behind the scenes fun stuff with you. How did you actually start to get the brand going? What were some of the first things that you did to actually get this thing to come to life?
One thing I want to make really, really clear is that there wasn't like an epiphany moment where I had the wedding cake that was the first version of our yellow cake where we ate it and everyone's going, oh, Alisa, you should sell this. This is great. And I go, yes, I'm going to go start doing that. It was nothing like that. It was just a, wow, good cake, Alisa.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just, you forget about it for several months after.
Yeah.
So in my previous role in Google, I was a Google Trends analyst, which if you ever looked up the, or get the YouTube ads for Google's year in search, the most searched things, that's what I was doing.
Okay.
When I was in that role, I became really, really good at recognizing patterns. And I started to notice something within food, in the food conversation, and in how it was shifting. And that was the real like first seed that was planted in my head. I was thinking, if I were to work in food, how would that look like? Starting a CPG company was like the last thing on the list. Like,
really?
I did not have the itch to be an entrepreneur. Like, it was none of that. It was more of the more I started to dig, there was a very clear winner. When I realized that it was wheat and it was to be the crazy person who would tackle the wheat narrative, like, I couldn't resist it, but it felt like a behemoth.
Like, it felt too big of a challenge to try and tackle.
But, you know, it just simmered. And eventually I put two and two together of, wait, I've already kind of tried this with my wedding cake. And Let me just start digging a little bit deeper into it. So like any good CPG company, I started out in a farmer's market stand for the first 6-8 months. And it was an odd concept because I wasn't just selling cake mix. Like I had a cake mix that I was making, you know, in my home kitchen and putting in like a little coffee bag to sell. I was also selling flour to people.
So you were like, you were basically selling like mix it, like baking products. At a farmer's market stand.
Like at this point, I was still so convinced that I should be working with flour, not a mix, that's my main thing that I was selling was Barton Springs Mill flour at a farmer's market.
But what did you discover though at the market? What did you learn? You probably learned a bunch of stuff real quick.
I learned a lot. If anyone here wants to learn how to be a salesperson, go start your own farmer's market stand. You will be humbled very fast.
Right. Yeah.
For me, what I learned the most was I actually started to understand why people were scared of gluten. I think that was the main thing I learned, was just I spent so long having conversations with people, hearing them talk about wheat, hearing them talk about baking and flour, what they were using it with. A lot of the times I would get people coming to me and telling me their life story and going, and that's why I can't eat gluten anymore. Gluten is evil. It did all this to me. I have all these health effects. And I'm going, I am just a young girl selling flour.
Yeah, totally. You're like, but this product is not like that. But yeah, okay. So were you able to translate to people that this was like superior? Or did you struggle with that from like a marketing standpoint how did you let people know that this was like crazy high quality flour?
That was what I struggled with. And that's what I ended up figuring out pretty fast, was I could sit there and try to do as much education as possible about wheat and all this and comparing, making these different comparisons. But what struck the chord for people the most was this is gluten without the gluten side effects, or it's gluten without making you feel like it.
So that probably really helped you tweak your messaging to really dial in your packaging when you decided to switch to a CPG product.
Seriously did. And that's where I noticed the biggest gap, because I thought from there that my competitor was like a Pillsbury, you know, your standard conventional flour. But that farmer's market experience taught me that my main competitor isn't ever going to be them. It's actually gluten-free.
Ooh, interesting.
So if I didn't have that like 8 months of a humbling farmer's market experience, which by the way, was happening during the Texas summer, no one wants to bake in the summer here.
Oh God, yeah. So, when was it in that moment where you're like, cake mix, that's it?
Cake mix is when we were moving. Mm. Just all of our little baggies of mixes.
Okay, that's what people wanted. And this is such a good story, Alyssa, because you figure out, this is what I always teach people, like if they're going through Launch Lab, like you figure out a low cost, easy way to test the product out. There's so many different ways that you can do it. A farmer's market can be great. I mean, there's a million different ways. And then you would have gone a different direction, obviously, if, you know, the flour was selling better or something else was selling better. It's such a good proof of concept. Testing is so important.
Yeah. Just the reactions that I would get from people, folks who would come to me and show me, this is my daughter's birthday cupcakes I made her. I didn't even think I could make her anything like this, but here it is. And I feel good about it because I'm a mom and I don't want to have to give my child all these other things. And when all those pieces started connecting together, that's when I started to go, okay, maybe I should commit to this and sincerely commit to it. And what do I have to lose? And I think once I cross that mental obstacle, I'm the type of person where if I'm going to take something seriously, I take it seriously. So it was just like an overnight mental shift for me.
Okay, quick question. Are you a CPG founder with a big idea, a million tabs open, and zero clue what step comes next? Yes. We've all been there. I get it. Meet Launch Lab. It's the 10-week founder bootcamp that takes you from, I think I have a product, to, wait, I'm actually launching this thing. Think weekly live sessions, real-time feedback, and a proven launch formula that I have taken my brands and my clients through over 100 times that shows you exactly how to price it, brand it, pitch it, and get it ready for shelf. So no guessing, no Googling at 2 a.m., no ChatGPT holes, no hope this works energy. You'll join a small cohort of ambitious founders, swap notes in a private Slack community, and learn from experts in branding, sales, finance, supply chain, manufacturing, while building your real launch plan in real time. Whether you're validating your first idea or gearing up to launch your next big thing, LaunchLab helps you skip the rookie mistakes, save serious money, and actually get to market. Early registration is open until February 7th, and then the price goes up to the normal list price. Spots are limited. Founders are already signing up. So head to itsallhappeningagency.co/launch-lab. Let's turn your idea into a brand people can't stop buying. So farmer's market, 8 months, you said. Now what? Are you still working full-time job?
No. After Google, I was doing just random contract work. Nothing was really sitting. I just thought to myself, what if I really commit and make this a full-time thing? What result could I see? And I spent a lot of time really studying CPG.
Using your journalism instincts. I love it. So you started to go all in on the packaged idea. Mm-hmm. And what were the first couple things that you did as you were building your brand?
Yeah, so I really looked at branding first. I made a really big Google Doc. Mm-hmm. That was just my stream of consciousness and thoughts. It was, why do I think the current ancient grain sort of market, why do I think it's flopping? Mm-hmm. What are their messaging that they're showing? Who is the audience that they're talking to? And who is missing from that? Mm-hmm. Who is that audience that really can resonate with this message, but maybe hasn't heard it formed in the right way?
So this is your brand strategy. Even though you maybe didn't call it that at that time, this is what that is.
And that was it. And I did a lot of research looking into vintage cake magazines like Wilton, looking at old ads, reading a lot about what is cake mix, what does baking mean to people, and really trying to find the core of what is that true emotional purchasing decision that people make. And how can I communicate that in a way that's visual and in very short sentences on the box and just being right. able to make this connection without explicitly saying it to people.
Now, tell us your first production run story.
Our first production run, we're scrappy like many early stage CPG brands.
Yep.
And I decided, okay, if I can make a few bags of cake mix in my home kitchen, doing this in a commercial kitchen wouldn't be so hard. So I was able to use some community connections and have a kitchen that we were able to use for free, but only during the nights. And they were still using it in the daytime. So my husband and I just put together a very mobile cake manufacturing system. And it was brutal. Like this kitchen size was about maybe like 5 by 12, like you couldn't fit, two people couldn't be walking down the same aisle in the same time. It was very tight. And we had this giant commercial mixer that we got from James Brown, the owner of Barton Springs Mill. He sold it to us. He's like, I'm not using this. Have fun with it. And every time we had to go in there, we had to drag this giant thing, move it in. Oh, it would hurt us, smash our fingers. We'd have to move like 25 pounds of flour, but like, you know, 6 or 10 of them at a time, and then the sugar and everything. And we were just being in this tight little space, mixing everything. Yeah. We got one of those automated fillers and hand filled every single bag, and then individually boxed them into every single box. Mm-hmm. It was brutal. And we did this all in like 6 weeks.
Oh my God. But it took you a long time to run through your first production run, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It took you like a minute. Like it took you the 6 weeks to get through how many units?
Oh gosh, about like 3,000-ish.
That's a lot of time.
Only working at nights on the weekends. So.
Right. That's true. Yeah. Exactly. You were limited when you actually were able to be in there.
Yes.
Oh my God. You're going to look back at those times, I feel like, and be like, wow, we did it, babe. Like we did it. So, okay.
Yeah.
When did you decide that like, maybe we should shift gears a bit with our manufacturing strategy.
I think it was pretty quickly into that process, like the second or third night.
You only did that 1 3,000 run, right? And that you were like, yeah, we're tapped out. Like that's...
Yeah, I think this is when we started working together was like towards the tail end of that. As much of a good researcher as I am, there's only so much about the actual inner workings of the industry that you can find in the surface level.
Yeah.
Especially when you're talking to retailers, because from the get-go, I thought about All-In as being a retail item. Like this was made to be placed on a shelf next to any of our competitors. But to be there, you have to have a lot of the paperwork together. You have to have a lot of the certifications from the facilities. And that just, I didn't know any of that until I met you.
Yeah, it's a complex spider web of a process. Mm-hmm. So we found you a manufacturer that shockingly was like very local to you, which is incredible. I mean, how kismet was that?
Yeah.
That was so amazing. And now you don't have to stand amongst flour being filled and stand in clouds of dust while your product gets made.
Yes, it is. What's really funny is I think that our co-man, his family's from the same part of Mexico my family's from too. So,
oh, really?
Just the odds.
I love that. Yeah, it's been really cool to watch this scale up process with you. It hasn't been perfect, right? Like we've definitely had some bumps in the road for sure. What I do like about where you're at right now is that you are fully set up as opportunities come, which they're coming for sure. And you've got lots of them happening right now. You don't have to think about that, right? Like you don't have to stress so much about that. Like you're stressing about other things, but you know that your product is being made in an SQF facility. I mean, that's just a huge chunk of your brain energy that you can devote towards growing your business instead of stressing about that.
Yep. Yesterday, I was talking to a founder, or just like bouncing ideas off of each other. And one of the things that I kept repeating to him was, we're going to have these disadvantages being an early stage, but the most that we can do and that we need to focus on is building our moat. And that's mentally how I think of it. It's these items that they aren't sexy. They aren't fun to think about. They aren't things that you can post on Instagram that can go viral. But it's like having an SQF facility. It's having your trademarks. It's having legal representation. It's having a sales plan. Like those things can be a bit of a drool, but they're your moat. And once it's there, everything else kind of can fall together without having to, I don't know, rush in the back end.
Yeah. What you're illustrating is a super solid foundation. That's what you're talking about, right? Like laying a super solid ground, having things set up. So when the growth does come, you can pull certain levers and unlock different things and not have to be scrambling at different points throughout your growth. So I love that about like the way that you've set up your business. But what are some surprising things that you've learned about this business? Because I feel like there's a lot. What are the things that are like top of your mind just about distribution, sales, the industry in general, like being a woman in this industry?
Oh my gosh. There's probably like a million things that I could ramble on about. I think one of the positive, surprising things about the industry is I feel like I have so much more trust in the food that is on shelves at grocery stores than ever. Mm. Just because I've been on the back end of having to onboard with the distributor, of having to set up all the certifications and documentation. You have to have a lot of approvals before they'll even put you on the shelf.
Yeah.
So that peace of mind there, it's great.
Yeah.
Like knowing that as a consumer, there is that due diligence. One of the more, I guess, unpleasant parts of it is a cash flow business.
Yeah.
Like you were saying earlier, we're always fighting for better margins. We always need better margins.
You do. It's so expensive. You always need that extra 5 cents.
Mm-hmm. It really can make or break your business.
Yeah.
You would think, what does a couple pennies have to do with it?
A lot.
A lot. I don't know. Coming in, like, still so recently, like, just very consumer focused or being the consumer, you know, you would think a lot about prices. You hear a lot of people talking about the rise in food costs and folks are getting upset with it.
Yeah.
There are so many costs that it's hard to really put into words until you really are deep in it. I think with that, I just have to say, give us folks some grace.
Yeah.
We are pricing not to...
not to gouge. It's because your costs are high and yeah. you want to actually have a business tomorrow or in 6 months or next year.
Even for context, like our product is just over a pound. About a pound of this flour itself costs between $9 to $12 if you wanted to buy that retail as a consumer.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Exactly. You're using very high quality ingredients. And that's what I was saying. Like, I commend you for sticking to your guns on Barton Mills and like really doubling down on that partnership, because I think it is a very unique value proposition. And, you know, it's not necessarily landing you like a low price right now, but that is who your brand is. And if a customer cares about that, which a lot of people do, you found that unlock, right? You found mm-hmm. that messaging of like, no, guys, it's actually not gluten. It's the quality of the gluten. Mm-hmm. People, I think it resonates, and all the conversation around glyphosates as well too is a huge one for you.
Yeah.
So you have spent a lot of time and resources this year on marketing and like really kind of like revamping your marketing and just putting a lot of strategy into it. So what's working for you right now? How are you feeling about your marketing in general?
So I had my call with my marketing strategist earlier today. And I will say this, if you are a founder and you're listening to this, you're similar early stage, you have to pick your battles. Mm-hmm. I do not have a formal marketing background. I can understand certain strategy to an extent, but the execution of it is something different.
Yeah.
So this is where I'm choosing to invest. If you have a marketing background, you might need to invest in other areas, but this is me breaking the fourth wall. So yeah, that was just one of the things that how I saw it, I didn't have the time to master it in 2 weeks or whatever the quick turnaround is as a founder, but I also couldn't afford to ignore it. Mm-hmm. And what's been the most helpful is, for me, I think about things super high level and I can have a hard time figuring out how do I simplify it.
Okay.
And with my marketing strategist, that is just what we have been testing and reinforcing. Mm-hmm. This is the message. Repeat that same message. You're gonna think it's annoying, but the audience, you don't know who's hearing it. You forget how short of a memory we all have.
Exactly. And the attention span and the quick, like a split second to grab the attention. So yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, totally. So really doubling down on your messaging and creating content that works. Yeah.
And we've done so many initiatives right now where we're doing these baker chat interviews where we talk to local bakers, hear their stories and put them up on the spotlight, because I think bakers are amazing and I want them to be treated like such. We're partnering with them to get recipes so you can make all these different varieties of things with Allin. And we're partnering with them just because we like our bakers. And we really want to demystify baking for folks. It also meet them in the middle about why they're baking.
Yeah. You just had a retailer rollout in Central Market. So where can everybody find you?
So we are available in all Central Markets across Texas. It is super exciting.
Amazing. So cool.
And we're opening up more retailers as well. You can keep updated on that in our store locator on our website.
And people can also purchase D2C as well too.
Yes.
Okay. Rapid fire sage advice that you would give to a founder starting out today.
Do you really want to be a founder? Mm-hmm. The second one is, have you done your research for your product? Uh-huh. Or yeah. Do you know someone who can help you with that? And then Third is, do you really want to be a founder?
Because yeah.
I heard this from Jing from Fly by Jing at a book signing a year ago. And she just, that was her advice. Do you really want to? And it's true. This is going to take
thinking through what it actually means, right? It's not all glamorous. There's a lot of ups and downs. Yep.
Yeah.
Great advice.
Yeah. But yeah. I don't say that to discourage. I really do mean search in your heart of hearts. And if you have that drive, do it. Mm-hmm. But if anything about it is tepid, review it a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's really smart. I love that. And website and social handles, like where can everybody find you? Where can we connect with you?
Yes. So you can find us at allinyall, O-L-L-I-N-Y-A-L-L. That is our website and that is all of our social handles.
Okay. Amazing. I love chatting with you, Alyssa. Thank you for sharing your story. I'm obsessed with your brand. You guys, you have to try it if you like to bake. It really is a superior product. So check her out. Thank you so much for sharing your story, Alyssa.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Dee.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the It's All Happening Women in CPG podcast. It would mean so much to me if you like, subscribe, or share this episode with anyone who you think needs to hear. And if you're launching a brand and you need a CPG strategy advisor, visit my website to check out what we have to offer. I host free workshops from time to time. You have to sign up for emails to hear about those. And you can join Launch Lab, which is our group cohort that teaches you the four critical phases of launching your CPG brand and how to actually execute your launch quickly. We also do one-on-one advising. So if you book a profit plan session, I will assess your product profitability and recommend a package that works for you. You can book a call at itsallhappeningagency.co. You can email us at hi@itsallhappeningagency.co and follow us on Instagram at @itsallhappeningco. See you soon.